Good evening, everyone. Tonight is Monday, November 10th. I'd like to call the meeting to order at 6:02. Can we all please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Would the clerk call the roll, please?
Dana Florenza.
Here.
Brian Capolo.
Here.
Gino Di Giovanni.
Here.
Carly Peck.
Here.
Carlene Galuzzi. Here. Record should reflect you have five members present for a quorum.
Thank you. Okay, number four, approval of minutes. We didn't get any minutes, did we? I didn't get an email. Can I get a motion to table the minutes, please?
Motion.
Dana, second. Carlene? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, number five, public portion. Anyone from the public wish to speak? Anyone from the public wish to speak? Mark, is there anybody online besides, I don't have my tablet. Okay.
Good evening, my name is Mark Arfali, I'm town clerk in the city of Derby. a couple of items that I just wanted to raise tonight, just for your consideration and thought. You have elected officers of the board, and so therefore it's typically the chair's responsibility to chair the meeting. So, and you have a vice chair as well. So that would just be a point of Robert's rules. The other item is regarding something I read on social media and in the news regarding this commission's scolding of the administration. And I would say that was probably a mistake and probably not the best way to handle stuff. If there's a disagreement with the administration, with the mayor, I think it's best to do it. You're an agent of the city, so it makes sense to deal with the mayor's office and deal with that. Because after all, those of us that support the renovation of the Sterling Theater, we need to do it in a bipartisan way. So it should be done for the best interest of the city. And by approaching that kind of thing during election time, I think did not really help what your purpose is here. So I would encourage working with the administration for the next 2 years, because they'll be here for the next couple of years. And also, the other thing is, if you have not gotten a permit for the raffle, then we just make sure you just check in with the police department on that, so we get that squared away. I don't know if you did or not, but, and if you have tickets and you want us to help sell them here, we could do that as well. All right. Thank you very much and happy Thanksgiving.
Anyone else from the public wish to speak? Third and last time anybody from the public wish to speak. All right. Public portion is closed. We'll go to number six, committee updates.
What's the report?
On everything that has to do with what we spent so far with the 501c3 establishment is, how we're going to proceed, next steps. It's pretty expensive. I got it all printed out.
If you could do it under new business, that'd be great.
That works.
Carlene, what do we got for the raffle? Is that what? I don't know.
No, I could talk about that. So we started just a Amazon gift card raffle, see if we can raise some money that way with it. We do not have that many tickets sold so far. So right now we're currently in the negative on that. So I'm pushing for tickets tonight, but it's due by midnight tonight. So we will draw a raffle. We'll just, I learned my lesson with this one. So that's all I have there. Yeah. I mean, you learn your lesson as you go. I thought it was a great.
Can you extend it?
I guess I could. I guess I could extend it. I could re reach out. I don't want to extend it too long because I wanted it really before Thanksgiving for, Black Friday. They have the Amazon, Monday or Thursday or something like that. So, I wanted people to be able to use it. So, I mean, we can certainly talk about that if we want to maybe extend it a week or two. Maybe have it due the Monday of Thanksgiving week instead. What is that? That's
How many tickets are we short?
we only have, let me just log on here. Sorry, give me one moment.
Ticket time.
So, we've sold 7 tickets, which is a total of $10 each, so $70. So,
So we
70 minus $250.
180 bucks.
Odds are high.
Yeah. The odds are high.
Getting
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, if we want to discuss extending it a little bit, I honestly think that with the election, I think that that took up a lot of social media. I've been posting about it, but I think everyone's been posting, on the community forums like the last couple of weeks. So, I think we've kind of been, shoveled in the mix
it wouldn't hurt to
of all
extend
the
it.
posts.
Wouldn't hurt to extend it.
Can we make a, would we vote on that to extend it?
Yeah, could do that.
So let me just see. I just want to pull up a calendar. So I have here, so today's the 10th. If we want to give it 2 more weeks, that would land us on Monday the 24th, which would still be before, that's the week of Thanksgiving.
Right,
Extended to
so 11:24.
11:24 at midnight.
Sure,
that works.
Yeah.
What do we have to do to extend it? Nothing, right? We just got to post about it and.
Yeah, I could just adjust it on the website and extend the times on there.
All right. Do I have a motion to extend the holiday raffle to Monday the 24th, 2025 at midnight?
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Okay. Brian, second it.
I'll second it.
Carlene, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, so we'll extend that to Monday the 24th, and maybe you could send the town clerk the details, and he could maybe send an email out to anybody or post it on the website or
Yeah,
whatever.
forward. Thank you.
Anything else, Carly? Good.
Maybe
That's
just an idea here. Just to make it fair for the people, the 7 tickets that were sold on time. Maybe to send them an additional ticket, just since they conform to the rules and regulations of the raffle itself. Just to make it fair, what do you guys think about that?
I think that'll probably defeat the purpose, no?
Yeah, so Brian, in order just to make our money back, we just need 25 tickets sold. So we're already at 7. So if we give out, another ticket, we're at 14.
We lose money.
Yeah, and I think we're
Yeah.
gonna lose, I think we'd lose some money from that.
I think now
I think
that,
it's still safe
yeah.
to still do the 2 week extension. I mean, it's still plenty of time before Christmas. I mean, it's a raffle for a charity. It's, we're not,
Okay.
winning thousands of dollars here, but and it's nice. Amazon allows you to also do this by email, so I can also, the person that will receive the, that wins automatically gets it. So
Yeah.
it's not something that I have to worry about, taking up time trying to find them during the holiday week. So I think
Okay.
it'll
All
be
right. Great. It
convenient.
was just an idea. That's all.
Yeah. No, of course. Thank you.
All right. Any other reports or committees or excuse me, committee updates? Anything else, Dana? No? No? Okay. If not, we'll move on to number 7. Report on Twisted Vine walking tours. Who's got that report?
I'll sign back on. So for the walking tours, I think that we had a really good turnout. I don't remember the amount of tickets that we had sold beforehand, but we did have a lot of walk-up tickets as well. So the total amount of tickets we had was 56 tickets. I think it turned out really well. A lot of people enjoyed it. I think that I could be more clear next time on the walking tour because I feel like a lot of people didn't realize that it was a historical tour. As well, they thought it was just about the Sterling Opera House. So people were excited when they went. They were like, oh, there's more. There's, you know, we went up in the Opera House halfway through the tour, and then we had a few more stops, and people didn't even realize that, you know, they got more for than they thought. So I think that maybe I can going forward, I think that should be maybe publicized a little bit more or clarified a little bit more. We might have had more interest, but overall, I think that we did very well with the tickets. And it was a great time. I think that a lot of people stayed, a lot of people had dinner before and afterwards, and we had some merchandise sold at our table. And
So there was over 50 people that went?
yep, 56 tickets.
Wow. It's pretty good.
And there might have been some cash tickets too. I'm not too sure.
Did
So
you
they're
deposit all that into the bank? Yeah, because that's what the bank account shows.
Yep.
It was over $2,000.
Yeah. So we did, I think we did a really good job with that. I think that it went very well. There was no commotion. It was a very respectable night. By the time our last group got back, it was just getting dark. So we, you know, everybody had a, it was very safe. We had no issues.
So
So
the time worked out pretty good the
the
way
time
we
worked
did it.
out. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Perfect.
You did a really great job.
Yeah, good
Yeah.
job. Appreciate it.
No, thank you. I'm glad. And, you know, if anybody's watching this, I'm very grateful that you came to our tour if, you know, if you did. So thank you so much.
So I had a fundraiser. I think it was maybe it was that Wednesday before. I wasn't here, but I saw two people down in Stratford. And they were from Derby, actually, at this fundraiser I was at. And I told them about it, and they actually came.
They did.
They live right across the bridge in Shelton, right in those new condos that are there. So they didn't they heard about it, and I got them to come, so that was good. I think it definitely put the information out there and the bug in people's ear to letting kind of a new set of people, if you will, know what's going on. So I think it worked out pretty good. 56 people, that's quite a showing, you know.
And I also just wanted to mention that the weekend prior, we had done the Ansonia Harvest Festival, and there were quite a lot of people that were interested in coming to the tour but couldn't make it. They already had plans. I guess it was a busy weekend for weddings, a lot of weddings in October. So a lot of people did mention that they followed our page, they followed our Facebook and our Instagram account, so that they are hoping that we do another tour, you know, in the springtime once the weather gets better and, you know, it gets a little nicer out. So we do have people following for that too that are interested.
Well, for what it's worth, I would just like to compliment Carlene. I thought she did a spectacular job. I thought the whole committee did a spectacular job. The feedback we got from the people that came on tour was amazing. We had one guy come through who's a professional magician. He's part of the state
Yep.
of Connecticut Professional Magicians. He has said he wants to put a professional magic show together as a fundraiser. Not obviously not at the Sterling, but someplace. But the only stipulation he was is when it's renovated, he wants to be able to perform at the Sterling because Harry Houdini performed
Right,
there.
Brian, you're talking about Brian. Yeah.
But we had three different people come through that have our skilled tradesmen that said they would like to donate their services, one of whom is a shipwright at Mystic Seaport and does all the fancy woodworking. And he
Wow.
said he would certainly volunteer to come in and when we get to that stage. So it did a world of good for the public relations of the event. So you did a great job. Very impressed. And Zeffie worked perfectly because I got the reports and the deposits were made weekly. And everything we, and by the way, you can do raffles through Zeffie too. So everything going forward. So just so you know, it'll be a part of my next report, but all fundraisers from this point forward need to go through the 501c3. You can still run them the way we're running them. But that allows the people that make the donation to get the tax rate. That's not somebody's going to write off a $10 raffle ticket, but you never know.
Well, though they could add it to their yearly contribution too.
Speaking.
So yeah,
Yeah.
good. Anything else on the Twisted Vine? No? All right. Move on to number eight, new business.
Dave, do you mind if I just say one thing first?
Sure, go ahead.
I just want to pop in for new business because I know that's because you brought up Brian and he was actually making ornaments for us.
Yeah.
So I did want to bring that up as well. That's a fundraiser that we'll be publicizing as it gets a little more closer to Christmas. And I just wanted to briefly like bring up the, because I know your yours is more important than mine in your conversation, but I just wanted to kind of go with the committee, be since we're in November already. If we're allowed, and I don't know the answer to this, if we're allowed to bring the ornaments to like the Christmas tree lighting and have a table at the Christmas tree lighting, or if we're allowed to do any of that, I don't know if that's, I don't know who I would find out from to know if that's a thing or not. But Ryan did come up with an ornament. We made a design, and he has, I think, Harry Houdini on this ornament on the back. Mm-hmm. And the front is the Sterling. And every year we're going to put a different person on the back of who's played there.
He's built a few already.
Oh, yeah.
Website.
Okay. So we want to publicize that a little bit more as it gets closer to Christmas. I don't want to take away from my little holiday raffle yet. But then, you know, I want to at least make our money back, you know, so, and make someone happy.
How many tickets have you sold?
For what? The raffle?
This raffle, seven tickets.
Seven tickets.
Okay.
Seven tickets. So
I'll get you to 12. I'll buy $50.
And well, you know, we're going to get there, but, you know, but I just wanted to bring it up.
Well, you just got to break even.
Yeah, I know. That's my point in it. But yeah, so I just wanted to bring it up to the commission about if you guys want me to kind of look into seeing if, you know, the Christmas tree lighting is something that you'd want us to do as a group, or if that's something that would be, you know, if we'd be interested in that this year, or we could just sell the ornaments online and, you know, do it that way. It depends. I know the holidays are a little tough.
You guys can do what you want, but there's no way that I would have time to do that.
Okay. No, that's perfect. That's why.
But yeah. If you guys do what you want.
I mean, I could certainly look into it. I don't know when the tree is, the tree lighting is. I don't know if, you know, you're allowed to have a vendor there. I'm not too sure. So I could certainly find that out and bring the information up to the committee. And
this Bob, the Hallmark movie, they'll show you how it's done.
Yeah.
My wife gets pissed off. I watch them start in October.
Christmas in July, Dave. Christmas in July.
Just wanted to bring that up. Dave, I'll let you go.
The first actual report from the 501c3. Because I have to file these on a regular basis, and in December, if you have to file the federal papers. You're going to the office, Mrs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
it really looks
I can sit here and this microphone is working. Okay, 501c3 status. We were approved on October 13th, 2025. We're in. That's done. And I've already filed the first report with the feds. I'm going to have to file reports at the end of each year. December 31st is our closing date, which is the next item. Fiscal year ends December 31st. So I have to file the paperwork by the 31st of... Well, actually, by January, once we hit the close. All the contributions that were made from April 11th of 2025 going forward are deductible. They grandfathered us with the date that we actually filed the paperwork. So if somebody, and we didn't get any, but if somebody gave us a good one, they would have got the deduction. I filed for the public charity status with the state of Connecticut and the feds, and we were approved by both. So we're a certified public charity at this point. The bank statement, opening balance was $100, which I deposited. We have deposits from the walking tour of $2,150. The service charges for the first 3 months have been $45.15 a month. I'm going to buy checks. I did not buy checks when we first opened it because we didn't need them, but now we may need them if we have to start writing checks. So the way that would work is if somebody's making an expenditure, they file a check request with the 501c3, and if the money's in the account and we can, you know, approve to pay it, we do it. So the ending balance is $22,035. Expenses to date payable to me are $1,800. I broke that down below. So the EIN generation to the Sterling Hopper House Restoration Inc. was $319. I paid that and donated it. I don't expect that back. The state of Connecticut corporate filing was $50. I paid that. I don't expect that back. The Brightbridge contract to get the 501c3 was $1,300. I paid that. I'd like to be reimbursed whenever we get it. I don't want to do it now because we don't want to lessen the bank account. So when we get considerable money in, then we can do it. The federal filing fee was $500. I paid that out of my pocket. That's under the same thing. So that's $1,800 total. I'm going to need a full list of income and expenditures that have been raised to date, because I have to put that as, we have to grandfather that. So for example, merchandise sales, somebody should have a record of that.
Yep.
All of that. I just need a report on that, because all I do is attach it. It's a little more complicated than it sounds when you first say you're going to do it. and that includes the merchandise sales. So donations to date, we need the list if we got any donations. I don't know that we have, but and I really don't think we have. Somebody just donated money to the commission or to the previous group that I guess was the actor was a commission too. Mm-hmm. But we just need, if there was any donations, I need to be able to record them. They wouldn't be tax deductible because they'd be before the April deadline. But we need to know where they are, if there was any. Yeah. My donation is $366. My company's donation is an in-kind contribution of $250,000, because I have to file that with the feds because of my licensing. I've got to show that we're not charging anything up until the whole project is ready to go to campaign. And then we have to bid the campaign. And so I will tell you what my wife and I have already discussed. We'll bid the campaign. You have to, because we're a 501c3 now, we have to competitively bid the campaign because it's a contract. But we're going to reduce our fee structure by 50%. So I don't think anybody will ever come close to us, because most of the companies like ours, a campaign of this size would probably be somewhere around 400 to 500,000. We're probably looking at 100, 125 as opposed to the full amount. But that's a little bit down the road. But we've already made that decision that we will do that to make sure that it happens and that, you know, it doesn't cost everybody a fortune. So the next steps are, we need the construction estimate from the consultants, because we have to understand what we have to raise to restore the theater. And then we have to add a certain percentage to endow it. And that endowment is extremely important if we're not operational as soon as we get the theater renovated. And in the future, too, if there's dead space, we've got to be able to pay the bills. And 25 years ago, we stopped doing straight capital campaigns and went to capital endowment campaigns, because I saw organizations spend, you know, $20 million, $25 million building a building, and they were out of the building in 3 years because they couldn't afford to operate it. So I want to make sure we have a large enough endowment to make sure we stay operational. Matt knows what I'm talking about. Yale's endowment's, I think, the second largest in the world. First or second?
We do the same thing with theaters and consultants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the professional way to proceed. Mm-hmm. Then we can establish the construction budget, where he will come in. And when we know what the construction budget is, then we can do the gift naming opportunities and structure the campaign. And my daughter already said she would help with that on a pro bono basis, since she's going to be running the company. We have to identify the non-negotiable factors in the restoration. And the deadlines I set for establishment of the construction budget is the first quarter of 26, and identify the non-negotiable factors in the restoration budget. Let me tell you what I think that is. I don't think we want to raise all this money, and I'll defer to Matt on this, but not put everything in the theater we think we need, whether or not the consultant thinks we need it or not. And what I'm referring to is the fly system.
They're redoing the plans to include the fly system.
Perfect, because I won't raise the money without it.
Right.
Because if you go visit the theater we did, a community theater, 275 seats, the company that did the fly system, it was $1 million. They donated half of it.
Yeah.
And Connie knows them, so we're going to ask them to donate half of the one for the Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
She has it. I'll get it for you. It's like one of the top two companies in the United States for fly system. It's Indiana Fly or something like the guy from the consultants company knew the name of it. It's in Indianapolis. Recruit more members to the 501c3 board. So let me give you the criteria for that.
Yeah.
It's got to be people, obviously, that are dedicated to making this happen. They should be able to help raise money or donate money, or they should be able to actively participate in setting up the fundraisers. That's why I refer to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because her role on the commission is part of the commission, but I think she'd be a more effective role in setting up fundraisers because they have to go through the 501c3 anyway. You can no longer raise money outside of that. If we're going to provide the deduction. Those of you that are on the commission can decide whether you want to move over to the corporation, but then, and I'm going to defer to Gino on this. We've got to have a certain nucleus. If what Gino is saying is true, and I have every reason to believe it is, we've got to have a certain number of people that have clout on the commission to make sure the interface with the cities.
Right.
Because this is a team. We're not working in this independently, but we got to have a team together. So, and when I say a team, I mean the city, you guys, and us. And when I say us, I'm saying the Sterling 501c3.
Correct.
And we'll establish the criteria for membership, and we'll vet the people that are coming on. And when I say vet, we do research on them to make sure they meet the guidelines. Okay. I had a discussion with Sharon Closius from the Valley Community Foundation. We are going to create an org charter with the Valley Community Foundation, which is different than just creating a foundation or giving them the money. And they're going to be the fiduciary. And why that's important is Dana gives $100,000. The check is made out to Sterling Restoration, Inc.
Mm-hmm.
It's deposited into the Sterling Restoration org account.
Yep.
At the Valley Community Foundation. They issue the tax letter directly to Dana.
Mm-hmm.
They keep the records for the tax department. Come December 31st, they generate the report on the taxable contributions.
Yep.
Because we are not in a position to hire a staff to do that. So
yeah, you're going to use them as the accountant vehicle.
Yeah, we don't have an accountant.
Yeah. Yep.
Let me put it this way. At some point, Sterling Restoration, Inc., which is the 501c3, may actually become the overseer of the operations of the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be in a position to hire an executive director, an accounting staff, just like the Boys and Girls Club. We have an executive director. We have a financial department.
Mm-hmm.
But that's after we get this thing done.
Some legs under us first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And anybody's eligible for those positions. So I've already talked to a couple of people with money in the Valley. They've expressed an interest, but they're skeptical because they don't want to write big checks, and they ain't getting on unless they can write big checks, because I don't need personalities. I need people, but I also need people who are dedicated to the restoration of the theater and are willing to work.
Mm-hmm.
We need workers. Right now, the three corporate officers are myself as president, Tom is the secretary, and Matt is the treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to expand on that. Eventually, we want to take Matt out of the treasurer's role and give him the responsibility for oversight of the construction, and he'd be the point man on all that stuff, because mm-hmm. that's his area of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't necessarily want to be the treasurer, I don't think. So the minute I can replace you, we're going to do that, and we're going to create a
got to start somewhere.
Committee on construction, construction design, and execution. That's him.
Yep.
Tom will give all the haircuts.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, at least start them. I saw your interview. I know you start them.
So anyway, I'm going to work on creating the criteria for the membership, all this other stuff. We'll be ready to file our first financial, which is going to be easy because we don't have any. It's very small, for December 31st. But we're ready to roll. Once we know what it's going to cost us,
mm-hmm.
and we build in the endowment, that will create the fundraising goal. And then we can start looking at things like foundations, the state bonding money, money from the State Council on the Arts. There's a national organization called the American Association for Historic Theater Restoration. Mm-hmm. I tried to research them. It appears they have money of their own. They're not part of the Endowment on the Arts, because we aren't going to get any money from the Endowment on the Arts.
It's the League of Historic
Theaters. Is that what it is? Yeah. But they have monies available. But we're not going to get money from... I thought when we originally started this, we'd have a shot at some money from the Endowment on the Arts, which I've gotten in the past.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pipe dream right now, what's going on in Washington.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to rely on foundations, individuals, fundraising efforts, and state money. You know, I got to tell you, I think, you know, this is going to be my retirement project. So, and right now it's beginning to look like more than I did when I was working for a living.
That's always how it happened.
But you know what? That's the benefit of me being retired and doing this, as opposed to traveling six places around the country just the same month I'm trying to work on this.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
If we ever get this project over with New York, which keeps growing and growing and growing. But I'll give you a good example. Out of the blue, we were able to make a contact with a guy for that campaign. And Gina will appreciate this. We sat down with the guy, and the guy said, I know you're going to ask me for $1 million. I said, yeah, because I'm not giving it to you. He said, but I want to be a part of the project. I said, well, what are you thinking? He's going to donate all the steel for the entire project. It's a three-story building that's a city block big. And this guy is going to donate the steel. And the best news is we don't have to order it from out of the country, so we don't get hit with the tariffs. It's in his inventory, and he'll be able to deliver it in 2 to 6 months. If we can get a donation like that for the Sterling, mm-hmm. Jesus, that's like a godsend.
I bet you the steel is probably close to $1 million.
Yeah. I think we're going to have a...
Was it? Yeah. I mean, I don't see it, but I'm just saying.
I think we're going to have a very... robust campaign for in kind.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Dave, I know people involved with the League of Historic Theaters.
Oh, terrific.
Too. I'll reach out to them and see if we can start.
Yeah, we can set up a preliminary meeting and have them guide us.
Yeah, just get some leads on.
Yeah, that's perfect. So we got the right team in place, and now we're sanctioned. Mm-hmm. I remember a year and a half ago, first meeting I ever went to the Fiat Firehouse, we talked about, well, this could happen. Well, it's happening.
Yeah.
We're sanctioned. We're approved.
And listen, you know, not to beat a dead horse on that, but you're 100% right. And fast forward a year and a half, what this team, the 501c3, and all these pieces that come together in a year and a half.
Oh yeah,
is probably, if I had to do it all over, I'd say no way is that even possible. But it did happen. So I think it's really, you know, it shows a good. You know, a good testament to what team we have together and how things are coming together and getting them done in a timely fashion shows
at it, the nucleus
that you got some talent, you know?
The nucleus of the team that Tom and I met with that first night in the firehouse is the same team.
Yep.
Except we're 100 years ahead of where we were a year ago.
And that's important.
And next year, we'll be 100 years ahead of where we are now. But that's one of the reasons I recommended that Carlene eventually come over to the corporation, because if she's going to be doing fundraising, and she obviously is very good at it, except for the raffle, of course. I had to say that, you know, I had to give it a shot. But she would be the ideal person to come in and work under the development aspect of the, I don't want to keep calling it the 501c3, I'm just going to call it Sterling Restoration Inc.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because that's what it's called. But anyway, now that we're doing this, you probably need to either put me on the agenda each month for a report, or you guys go, you do your meeting, and then we convene Sterling Restoration Inc. and give the report as part of that. So when I report it to the feds, they see we're having regular monthly meetings.
True.
Okay. So that's probably the best way to go.
Got it.
We'd have it the same night. All of you guys are obviously intimately involved.
Mm-hmm.
We'd adjourn this meeting and reconvene Sterling Restoration Inc. It'd be the three of us until we expand it.
Correct.
We make the report, and then we can file the monthly reports. We don't have to file them monthly, but at the end of the year, I got to show that we've met monthly and we've had meaningful progress.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I think by the probably by the, I would say maybe Christmas time, or at least the first meeting in January, we'll probably Steinberg Hart will probably have everything buttoned up, and we really didn't we ran behind a little bit on the survey. Freddie ended up being in Italy a little bit longer than we anticipated. So they have all the information and they're just working on, you know,
that's why I put it as the pen to the paper
right now. So
I put it as the first quarter of 2026.
Yeah.
We're not going to get a lot done between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
No, no.
But if we could have that the first quarter of 2026, we now have a goal. We factor in the percentage for the endowment. We start having work sessions talking about people that we might have in mind, Matt, to come on to the corporation that bring, if they can't give money, do they have skill sets?
Right.
Or do like Carlene, who are willing to work their butts off doing fundraising.
Everybody's got their own little niche.
Yeah. And we got a guy on, and that's a construction guy here that we can turn to him for certain advice. I got to tell you, I was incredibly impressed with the questions Mark and I were asked during the tours.
Yeah.
And there wasn't one person who was not excited about restoring the theater and who were willing in some way, shape, or form to help, who came up and said, you know, when you start having meetings, keep us posted because we'd like to come and get involved. So like I said, we had two or three skilled workmen that said they would be involved. A magician guy said he would be involved. One girl told me she saw a guy hanging from the staging on the stage, the flat, those big tall platforms. She's staring at him and she said, "Do you see him?" I said, "See who?" She said, "The guy who's hanging from the..."
Well, that was probably Anna or somebody.
And she, this woman was dead serious. And I don't use dead as a pun. She saw, "I see this guy hanging. He's dead. Hanging from his spirit." And I said, "Oh." So from after that, I stood on the other side. But anyway, that's the report. So I'm going to suggest that starting next month, we adjourn this meeting. And there are not going to be ostensible changes a lot in the next 60 days. But we need to record that we've had meetings of Restoration Inc.
Right.
Any questions?
I don't have any. Any questions? No?
Yeah, Dave.
Go ahead, Brian.
I had a quick question for you. So when we're dealing with the endowment and we're talking about, kind of a security blanket with operational costs, in your past experience, how many months ahead are you looking, or how many months do you want to kind of envelop in that endowment for operational costs?
About a minimum of 2 years of operating in the endowment, and then you want another.
Okay.
For upgoing maintenance and upkeep. So let's say this project is a $20 million project. Okay. And Nat's got a better handle on it than I do, but let's say it's $20 million. I'm looking at a $5 to $7.5 million endowment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the one in New York right now, and that's a $40 million project, and the endowment is $10 million. And I think we're short. I think it needs to be $12.5
million. Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, you'd have an endowment. The organization could operate off the interest.
Off the interest alone. That's exactly what you want, because you don't convey the corporate.
Then that's perpetual.
Yeah.
That's where the goal
Yeah. That's a perfect point. You don't ever use the corpus of the endowment. You only use the interest but you don't use all the interest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the state of Connecticut law is. I haven't looked at it in a while, but like in the one I'm doing in the state of New York, you're only allowed to use 5% of the interest to fund the organization. 95% has to be reinvested into the endowment.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Matt's absolutely correct. You don't invade the corpus. You want it to be self-sustaining at some point, and it will get there, because then you got to remember, depending on how we set up the operation of the theater, you have an income stream from ticket sales, promotions, merchandise, you know. We've only scratched the surface when it comes to that. I just went online because I think it's Goodspeed is doing Irving Berlin's White Christmas. I mean, their ticket amounts, and they've got a much smaller theater than the Sterling. So if we cut us back to 700 or 750 seats, which most people think is going to be about where we're going to be, and then you start looking at the ticket prices, especially in the orchestra, you know, our events are going to raise a lot of money, which is going to be put into the operating account. So we got a long way to go. But what I was excited about, when I got that letter from the feds, I just breathed a big sigh of relief, because that company I hired was worth every penny I paid them.
Yeah.
Because they did a masterful job setting this up. And I got kicked out the first time.
What was the ticket sales? How much were the was a ticket? You remember?
I think they were 125 to 150.
Okay.
Yeah. So they range from, I mean, you could sit in the hinterland for 50 bucks.
They're a little different animal. They're a producing company. They start new musicals. They fund new musicals. They've got a tradition and an audience base built up.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They're basically like, they start musicals that go to Broadway. So they got that kind of pull.
So
it's a little different. It's not like.
So the price would be it's a little bit higher than it should be?
Well,
not that it should be, but because they're doing other.
It's what we would charge.
With Goodspeed's history and reputation, audience members are willing to pay more.
Right. Okay. So right. I got it.
Because, like, I forget some of the musicals, but I want to say it's like Annie. Like these.
Annie epic, started
these it. Epic hits were written and performed at Goodspeed first, right? Yeah. So they have this whole.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree that we'll be able to charge more than we might think, but I don't know if we could necessarily automatically, you know, go from Goodspeed.
I think they don't do touring shows. He's right. They do self-produced shows.
They're a producing company.
Yeah. You know, we have to also some major decisions as to who the theater operator is going to be. Are we going to hire a professional management company? Or are we going to look to somebody like Center Stage? Are we going to, there's a lot of questions that have to be answered in order to set up the organizational structure and the service delivery structure of the theater, how it's going to perform, how it's going to operate, that will ensure that we're generating enough income to keep it operational while still building the endowment. I think the great news is the amount of enthusiasm I saw on these tours. Matt and I saw on Derby Day, we had, almost 500 people go through?
Yeah.
I don't know how many we had go through, on that, but we had to have a couple hundred go through on because there was people that came through that didn't have tickets.
They just thought, they saw the doors open.
They saw the doors open.
I'll tell you, I was there with Linda Fusco when we, I think we had the HVAC company and the mechanical company in there.
Yeah.
So when I got there with Linda, we were like maybe 45 minutes early. Once I opened up the doors, people were walking in.
Yeah.
Linda was on the stairs while I was downstairs, and four or five people walked right in. They're asking her what's going on, you know. And then I came back upstairs and I was charging my phone. I was sitting there and people were walking in like a revolving door. The minute that place, one door is open, they want to go inside and see what's up and ask all these questions. It's crazy. I had
one guy and his wife come through and he wouldn't give me his name, but he said, listen, if this happens, and he said, I don't have any reason to believe it won't, I will be back in contact with you because I think I could do a substantial donation.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
And I understood why he didn't want me to give him he didn't want to give me his name, so I wouldn't pester him.
Yeah.
But that was unsolicited. Mm-hmm. He said, listen, this has got great potential.
I've heard that many times myself.
I used your piece about the guys jumping off on the rope. Everybody loved that.
So just to close the loop on the Goodspeed thing, the tickets for White Christmas right now range from $47 to $107, depending upon where you are on them.
Yeah.
So.
And that's an annual production.
$50 to $100.
Yeah, $50 to $100.
That's an annual production. They've done that the last couple of years. I actually went to a couple of things to see there. And here's what was interesting about that. They got the Gelston House and the restaurant right there, which is part of the Goodspeed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that we can't do that at some point that, you know, and Mark and I've mentioned this to a couple of guys on the board of aldermen. We got to look at the restoration of the Sterling as the anchor to the north end of Elizabeth Street. And I would love to see us do a professional band show on the green as part of the entertainment complex on the north end of Elizabeth Street. And then those restaurants could open up back down Elizabeth Street. And then I said to one of them, forget Main Street. Go to the riverfront and restore that as a historic riverfront.
Yep.
And now you've got you're going to attract tens of millions of people as tourists. Savannah did that. Savannah's waterfront was a drug den. Mm. When I first went there to work years ago, it was a drug den. I mean, that's what it was. And they just took it all. They didn't tear anything down. They restored everything. They put little shops and restaurants. And now they get 2 million, 3 million people a year that go through there. It's nothing spectacular, but it's historical.
But I just like to point that out, too, because Pier 131 is right across the street there in Shelton.
Yeah.
And I go there all the time for all my celebrations. It's a very, young vibe. They do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people that I talk to think it's the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
Me growing up in Derby, I'm like, this is the river. Yeah. You know, it's nothing special. But people love Waterview. Like, they love being on the river. Yeah. They love being on the water. So...
Well, this has nothing to do with the Sterling.
No, I'm just throwing that out there that there is, I do agree that there's a lot of opportunity along the river for, businesses. And right now, all we have right now is the Twisted Vine over there.
Yeah.
You know, unless you go down the street to Portobello's, which I don't know if, how they're doing because they're all the way singled out. So it's a loss right here, now.
131. I went and asked every restaurant in the Valley for a $50 gift card for, a silent auction. Saturday night, he's being honored by the Denise DeCenzo Foundation with its 2025 Kindness Award. It's going to be 300 people at the Marriott to see him get this award. So I went, I went to all the restaurants in the Valley, and I got a $50 gift card from everybody. So I have 14 of them. That's going into a silent auction. Then I went to Worcester Street, door to door. I got a $50 gift card from every restaurant and bakery on Worcester Street. Last Thursday, we went to Modern Pizza. So one of our prizes in the auction is a World Pizza Tour. There are gift cards from Roseland, Pepe's, Sally's, Modern, Tipsy Tomato, six of the top restaurants, pizza restaurants. So, and then I contracted with a company, and I'm just telling you this, if we want to run another auction or raffle, and I do it as an auction, not a raffle. This company's out of California, and I picked 10 trips. And what you do is we pay them the amount of money that the trip is worth to them. If we sell it, we keep the profit. If we don't sell it, we don't owe them anything. So there's no exposure. So Saturday night, we're doing two tickets to the semifinals and the finals and a hotel to the Final Four. We have two tickets for the semifinals and finals, men and women, the U.S. Open. We have tickets to the Kentucky Derby. We have tickets you can't get anywhere.
Mm.
We could do that online for the Sterling. And if we sell them, great. If we don't, it don't cost us a dime. So we could try to point that down the road, maybe a half a year or so, and set that up where we could have a massive online auction. And the starting bid is always what you owe that company. So I'll tell tales out of school. I'm paying $2,100 for the Final Four tickets. They're in the first row of the upper level. I went online to try. They're selling them already. They're scalping them. You can't get a hotel in Indianapolis for the Final Four. This is four nights at the Hyatt, a mile from the stadium. So if I sell it for $3,000 or $4,000, I'm making $2,200, $2,500. So that's something we can look at down the road. There's a lot of things we can do to raise money. But we got to raise money in big chunks. We're going to get this done. We got to raise it in big chunks. We got to look at the state, the programs like Matt was referring to, foundations. The sad thing is we just lost the last philanthropic millionaire in the Valley when Bill Bassett died.
Mr. Bassett, yeah.
When I did the club in Shelton, in the mid-90s, there were $8 million donors in Derby and Shelton, and they all gave $1 million. They're all dead.
I rebuilt the Bassett building up at the scout camp for them.
But anyway, that's my report. I think we're in the right direction. We got a lot to celebrate, and we're in good shape.
Okay.
Matt? Great.
I have one more thing to add. I'm sorry, guys. I just wanted to mention, because I was on Facebook and people were talking about one of the buildings here. here that's connected to like the Osborndale state property and stuff. And someone had mentioned that they spoke to somebody about like to the Opera House Commission about using like Lowe's and Home Depot as donations, that sometimes they'll donate like their lumber and stuff if they can make a commercial out of it. I just wanted to bring that up before I forget about it. And it's in my notes and, you know, and just put it on like the minutes as something to like talk about. Again, we're not there yet, but I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't know like how real that is, but I guess they do like use, you know, if they can use a commercial out of it and write it off, I guess, these well, companies.
We've approached them in the past for other campaigns. They don't give it a level that would make a difference. And Matt can speak to this better than I, but it has to be fire rated. It can't be stuff that you use to build do a household project. Gina will tell you. It's got to meet the building code requirements.
Okay.
So if they're willing to do that.
Let's say that when we get to the point of, you know, the project actually going to bid, hiring a general or a construction management firm or a GC or something like that, that's absolutely something.
So, yeah, that's okay. That's when that
I just wanted to throw it out there while I had it in
my mind. Just so you know, when we bid the project, one of the stipulations of the bid will be for each contractor to put in their in-kind contribution. So that in their bid document, there'll be a section that says, we are willing to do this in kind. And I'll tell you why we do that. If you don't do that and you award the contract to them, you're not going to get anything. Because contractors will give to what they get the contracts for.
Yeah, it needs to be in the contract.
Get donate to another contractor to build it. So I learned
all a long time ago. Depends on what they need for a write-off that year is what you're going to get.
Yeah. I learned a long time ago when you build that.
But it is a good thing to put in there. I mean, that's a
clause into the bid documents. It really makes a difference. So anyway, that's it. Sorry I took so long.
That's okay.
Good. Nobody else has anything? Motion to adjourn? Dana, second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Have a good Thanksgiving. And we will see you December.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
6:55.